Okay. All right, here we go. Let's see what we got. Oops. Let's see where I dropped my phone there a second. Okay, here we go. Oh, we remember last time we looked at in First Chronicles. Remember Chronicles? That's a record. You know, remember we just read he had a historian, he had secretaries, he had these. That's the reason it's written like it's. It's not, you know, mythological stories. This is whatever. Okay, now remember when he took the census here in chapter 21, his general didn't want him to do that because why? He says, my goodness, you know, the Lord's blessing you. Why do you want to take account of how many soldiers you have and all the people? Oh, no. So anyway, disaster hit, and remember there was this, the angel of the Lord was on its way to Jerusalem and was... 70,000 people had died, and anyway, David actually saw this angel, not just a few. Can you see it? It's not. No, everybody could see this. Oh, my goodness. See, it's like you, if you take the miraculous out of Christianity or out of the Bible, you don't really have a Bible. I mean, for crying out loud, gee, wow. And if you take the Lord out, well, how did Adam and Eve, you know, come on, really? Was the Lord there? Could they see the Lord? Well, obviously, he came in the third chapter in the cool of the day. The Lord came. Where are you? Anyway, a lot of great things here. You just, and it's just the key. The key to reading the Bible is just keep reading. Just keep reading. All right, anyway, so David, he bought the land where this angel had stopped because the Lord said, to put a burnt altar there, and have an offering right there. Now, why would you have an offering? Well, remember, something had to die, not us. He didn't say, "Well, y'all just die." No, but no, have the ox die, the sheep, or whatever it was. And so that's what happened. So, verse 30 of this of First Chronicles chapter 21, the last verse. David could not go in to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. In other words, he was standing, he saw this. He didn't have time to go. And the reason he said this is because the tabernacle was at Gibeon, which was across town, we'll say, really across town and out in the country a little bit. Yeah, there it said so in verse 29. For the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the wilderness, remember that's a temporary structure, and the altar of burnt offering were at that season in the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go there to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. Now, there's a thing I want you to see right here. We throw this out as Alabama Christians. And I'm just saying that because it's where we are. Now, we don't, but what's the point? This angel's on his way to destroy Jerusalem. David was going to go if he could. He said he could not go before it. In other words, the tabernacle, so you run to church real quick and inquire before the Lord. Wow, you know, it's a waste of time. It just, we put God on this. He never answers. You ain't got time. This angel, David knew he could go to the Lord and he would answer. And that's the reason you read about half of the Psalms that are written by David. I will call upon the Lord. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I mean, he knew. David was a real stranger to the people of Israel because they had totally abandoned the Lord. But David got them all back. Now, I'm going to show you how. Watch this. This is all one story. Then David said, this is the house of the Lord. No, this is the house of the Lord, and this is the altar of the burnt, let's put this back in Living Bible. That's what my problem was. Then David said, right here at Ornan's threshing floor is the place I'll build the temple of the Lord and construct the altars for Israel's burnt offering. Now, so remember the tabernacle, there's two words. There's a tabernacle and temple. Temple, there's no temple. That's what David was saying. I'm going to build a temple. It's going to be a permanent structure. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north? That's Jerusalem, you know, the city of the great king. That's God told Abraham, I'm going to give you this land. This was the whole purpose. Jerusalem is where this temple is going to be built. Where did Jesus get crucified? In Jerusalem, right outside. Anyway, and he's coming back to Jerusalem. Okay. We'll all see him. Okay. All right, here we go. So he says, right here, I'm going to build this, build the temple of the Lord and construct the altar of Israel's burnt offering. Now, remember, it's a then. That means that angel's still standing there. Now, okay, so that's just the close of that thing. So David now drafted all of the resident aliens in Israel to prepare blocks of squared stone for the temple. Wow. So here we got a brick-making factory going on. They also manufactured iron and great quantities of nails needed for the doors in the gates and for the clamps. And they smelted so much bronze that it was too much to weigh. Now remember, his son Solomon's going to be what? The wisest man in all the world. Guess what else he has with him? Solomon, this is David's son, is going to be the richest guy in all the world. This temple is going to be the greatest structure ever built, okay? And that's what's going to happen here. Now, why does that happen? Why do we have record of it? It's going to be hard to say. See, that place is still there today. It's been destroyed, but parts of it are still there. Okay. All right. So here we go. The men of Tyre and Sidon, those are two northern up the coast there, brought great rafts of cedar logs to David. Now here we go. Solomon, my son, is young and tender, David said. And the temple of the Lord must be a marvelous structure, famous and glorious throughout, look at that, the world. Nah, David, you're getting... Man, David did this because God is so great. That's why. Remember, this is the same temple that Jesus went through, I just mentioned a few minutes ago, with a whip. He was so mad. This place is a place of prayer. You've made it into a den of thieves. Oh, come on. I mean, there's Jesus. There's really no God. We're all made by amoebas. Evolution. Yeah, crazy. There's no evidence. It's no evidence. I watched some more stuff yesterday. And it's so funny. All of the evolutionists, the top evolution, they call it status now, which status means status. They know that even though the textbooks still say it, they'll show the horse progression. And there's no, they've even proved that's wrong. All those special horses, they didn't migrate or it wasn't evolution. It's only in a textbook. You can't find it anywhere. Matter of fact, all those, they call it so-called fossils, they're all in the same stratus. You can't have one guy in this layer of concrete and then another one over here in the same layer of concrete and claim they're millions of years apart. They're not. They're in the same concrete. And the funny thing about it is they got there's a jackass in Texas they found, a fossil, and he's 9 foot tall. See, that wrecks the schedule. Supposed to have been small, migrating up. It's just a big lie. The evidence is on our side. But anyway, so Solomon, my son, is young and tender, David said, and the temple of the Lord must be a marvelous structure, famous and glorious throughout the world. So I will begin the preparations for it now. Okay. So David collected the construction materials before his death. Now he commanded his son Solomon to build the temple for the Lord God of Israel. Now, remember, let's think. Solomon, who was his mama? Bathsheba. Well, how's he? He shouldn't even. See, it's got nothing. Your sins are gone. You're washed in the blood. David wrote a beautiful psalm in Psalm 32, and I'm sure he wrote it about himself. He said, Psalm 32, blessed is he. Let's just look at it real quick. Go right over there to it. We're at 22:2 in 1 Chronicles. Let's look at the book of Psalms here, because you're talking about Mr. Solomon. And I thought, man, how could the Lord ever love him? Look at that. What happiness for those whose guilt has been forgiven. Didn't say who never sinned. It said whose guilt has been forgiven. Paul used this verse in Romans chapter 4. Okay? Anyway, what joys when sins are covered. No, you mean what condemnation all your life? I know I'm forgiven, but God, I bet God. No, what joys? You couldn't forgive yourself and cover yourself up or not. Anyway, what relief for those who have confessed their sins and God has cleared their record. Praise God. And that's not a one-time deal. Look at this. There was a time when I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was. Look at this. Probably could have been along the days of when Bathsheba and him. Remember, David committed murder over that. But my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. Now, David wrote this. Look at this. All day and all night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess them to the Lord. You forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Praise God. Whoa. Let me throw another one at you here. Look at this. Let's look at Isaiah. Remember, Isaiah's trying to tell these kings to straighten up. Let's see, about Isaiah chapter 1, look, yeah, verse 18. Come, let's talk this over, says the Lord. No matter how deep your sins, your stain of your sin. Remember the King James is, let's look at it real quick because we've heard this all our life. The King James says, Come now, let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet. Okay, let's go back to the Living Bible here. Get it back in Alabama language. Hey, let's talk this over. Doesn't that make sense? Come, let's reason, says, let's talk this over. It's like, I've been on a Bill Cosby kick, you know, watching Bill Cosby Family. That is so funny. He has it with all five of his kids. It's so funny. They'll come up with this brilliant idea. Dad, I got a car I want. It's a Ferrari. And he's going, son, a Ferrari is $40,000. And Theo will go, oh, I'm not worried about the money. He ain't worried about the money. Let's talk this over. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Wow. Look at this. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. I just think of yesterday, my Volkswagen's red, and I had some red paint touching it up, got it on my hand, and I take that paint thinner stuff and get the thing, and I just go, it's gone. I'm like, isn't that amazing? It's gone. I can go in the house with dishwasher stuff, Dawn detergent. It ain't going nowhere. You touch it with that acetone, man, it's like, where'd it go? Look at that. White as snow. Now look at 19. Now remember, 19's connected to 18 where he just said, hey, you have made some mistakes. You know, look at this. If you will only let me help you, if you will only obey, look at this, then I will make you, it's like Phil was talking about. Oh, it can't possibly be rich. No, let's switch it into King James. Now remember, the Living Bible said, I'll make you rich. Look what he says in King James. If you be willing and obedient, now think of what Phil just said. You shall eat the good of the land. It just falls on you. But we can say, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way. Or, you know, see, look at 20. If you refuse and rebel, you're going to be devoured by the sword. I've spoken it. Let's read that part in Alabama language. If you keep on turning your backs and refusing to listen to me, you're going to be killed by your enemies. Wow. Okay, now, so let's go back to this temple thing. So, boy, David's right on course, isn't he? He knows the Lord. Yeah. First Chronicles, we're at 20, 22. Yeah, it was 22, whatever. Let's get right back into it. Okay, Solomon, my son, he's young. Okay. So, verse 7, David said, I wanted to build it myself, David told him. Now he's talking to Solomon. I want to build it myself, David told him. But the Lord said not to. You've killed too many men in great wars, he told me. You have reddened the ground before me with blood, so you are not to build my temple. He said, oh yeah. Remember, the Lord did all this. It wasn't like David said, you know, I don't want to kill them guys. No, the Lord told him to, okay? All right. But I'll give it to you. I will give you a son, he told me, who will be a man of peace, for I'll give him peace with his enemies in the surrounding lands. His name shall be Solomon. So see, that happened before it happened, didn't it? David knew Bathsheba, they were going to have a son after the one that just died. Look at that. Solomon meaning peaceful. Wow. And I will, where we go? Let's see. And I will give peace and quietness to Israel during his reign. You know, he does the same for us. It all fell apart after Solomon. And if you check why, stupid king didn't want to have anything to do with God. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, was his name. We'll actually get to him. It's going to be short stories of each one of these kings. And then some of them will get some long stories because, man, there's some details we want to know. He'll build my temple. He shall be as my own son, and I'll be his father, and I'll cause his sons and descendants to reign over every generation of Israel. So that's why Jesus, son of David, he was actually born of David's great, 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 great grandson, whatever. So now, my son, may the Lord be with you and prosper you as you look at that again. Now, well, we don't know. It might not. David said it would. Can you imagine David going against the Goliath and going, I hope it works. Oh, no. No, David ran. Remember that? He ran after Goliath. All right. So now, my son, may the Lord be with you and prosper you as you do what he told you to do and build the temple of the Lord. May the Lord give you the good judgment to follow all his laws when he makes you king of Israel. For if you carefully obey the rules and regulations that he gave through something that never happened. No, he did. And you have a copy of it. Go read those stories over and over again. Look at that. You will prosper. Be strong and courageous, fearless and enthusiastic. Now, see, that's where we have to be today. you can't back off. I don't care if you get sick, you get feeling bad, you lose all your friends. I have decided to follow Jesus. Stay with it. Stay with it. Okay, here we go. By hard work, I have collected billions of dollars worth of gold bullion. Man, and he did. We've just been reading the stories. Millions in silver, so much iron and bronze, I hadn't even weighed it. I've also gathered timber and stone for the walls. This is at least a beginning, something of which with the start. And you have many skilled stonemen and craftsmen, I think is what it says. Yeah, yeah, carpenters and craftsmen and of every kind. They're expert gold and silver smiths and bronze iron workers, so get to work, and may the Lord be with you. Wow. Then David ordered all the leaders of Israel to assist his son in this project. Wow. Did you know we've been in 1 Chronicles, and we have a record of David, and guess what was missing? Bathsheba. So what? Oh, oh, oh. All the people think David played the harp and sang, and then he committed this great sin. Oh, please. You can find that story. It's either in, well, it's in, it'll be, I think it's Second Samuel, or it'll be in Kings. It certainly wasn't in, it'll be in 1 Kings. Actually, I doubt it. It's going to be 2 Samuel, you know. True story, but notice it surely didn't wipe him out. He's going to die young. David lived, well, we'll get it in a minute. He lived to be an old man. Now try with every fiber of your being, verse 19, to obey the Lord your God. Look what he says, because we get it. And soon you'll be being in the ark and the other holy articles of worship into the temple. What does he mean? No, you know what he means. It's over at Gibeon, across town, a little bit outside of town. They're going to bring that ark in. And what do you got to do with that ark? It better be held by the poles, and it better be the priest holding it, the Levites. That's why he said, soon you're going to be bringing that ark in, and you're going to be dancing naked before it too, Solomon. You're going to be so excited. And that's exactly what happened. If we get to it, we'll see what happens here. By this time, here it is, David was an old man. This is chapter 23. So he stepped down from the throne and appointed his son Solomon as the new king. Remember in 1 Kings, there is a wonderful story of how one of David's other sons said, I'm going to be the king. Absalom, or whatever his name was, another one. But anyway, David outsmarted him. Anyways, he summoned all the political and religious leaders of Israel for the coronation ceremony. At this time, a census was taken. Wait, we can't do that. No, wait, watch this. It's the tribe of Levi. It's not soldiers. Who were 35 years and older. The total came to 38,000. Look what he did. Why do we have these details? If I was making this up, I wouldn't. I just would not have done that. But you and I will watch it and see what happens. Remember, the Levites are the only ones that can operate and function in that temple. 24,000 of them will supervise the work of the temple. Boy, they had to have a whole lot of them. They did. David instructed 6,000 are to be bailiffs and judges. 4,000 will be temple guards. No trespassing. You're going in there. Okay. And besides that, remember how much gold they had? Hold it right there, buddy. You ain't coming in here. Yeah, but it's the place of the Lord. We're all... No, you cannot come in here. I can issue you a priest to be with you, and you can bring a sacrifice, but you're not coming in here. What? Isn't this America? No, it's Israel. 4,000. Well, look at that. 4,000. 4,000. Think about that. Oh, what could we use for 4,000? We could get maybe 50 in here. Whew. That's a whole lot of churches. 4,000 will praise the Lord with the musical instruments I have made. Well, David only made one. Mm-mm. Trumpets, all kind of things. Then David divided them into three divisions, the names named after the sons of Levi, who never existed. Yes, they did. Here's their genealogy. The Gershom division, Kohath division, Marirar. Subdivision of Gershom Korah was named after his sons Ladan and Shimeah. Richard, I'm starting to believe this happened. Yeah, look at this. The subdivisions were still further divided into six groups named after the sons of Ladan. Jehiel, the leader, Zethah, Zoh, okay, on and on and on. The subclans of Shimeah were named for his four sons. How'd they know he had four sons? This is the record. Jahath was the greatest. Next was Jeshua, Beriah, combined into a single subclan because neither had many sons. Somebody's got a record. Yeah, you have it now. The division of Kohath was subdivided into four groups. Now, remember, these are temple people. Singers and carrying on. Amram was the ancestor of Aaron and Moses. Aaron and his sons were set apart for the holy service of sacrificing the people's offerings of the Lord. He served the Lord constantly and pronounced blessings in his name at all times. Now look at that. Where have we been? You know where Jesus, remember this group here, this is going to be everybody that's a descendant of Aaron, they are the priest. The other guys are just working the church. They're all sons of Levi, but Aaron's descendants were priests, okay? And their job was to do what? Every day, well, constantly, pronounce blessings. You think Jesus is up there doing nothing? He's pronouncing blessings over Phil and Laura and all of us in here. Janet and Paula and Bob and me. Wow. As for Moses, the man of God, his sons were Gershom and Eleazar. Okay, wow. They were included in the tribe of Levi. Gershom's sons were led by, okay, we see these names. Okay, he had many children led by this. Okay, this guy, Jeremiah, was second in command, third. Let's keep clicking here. All these sons, they're all, okay. In the census, the men of Levi who were 20 years older and older were classified under the names of these subclans. Wow. They were all assigned to the ministry of the temple. David said, the Lord God of Israel has given us peace and he will always live in Jerusalem. Wow. Now the Levites no longer, look at that. We wouldn't have known. Now you know about the, the tabernacle. And you know the history because that's what happened. Look at this phrase. Now the Levites will no longer need to carry the tabernacle and its instruments from place to place. We now have a home. Mm-hmm. The census of the tribe of Levi was one of the last things David did before his death. Man, they sure got a lot of details here. I'm not sure if this ever really happened. I'm still having a problem believing David killed Goliath. Oh, you're just not reading. We are. We know better. The work of the Levites was to assist the priest. Now it says the descendants of Aaron in the sacrifices. They were to assist the priest, the descendants of Aaron. The priests were the only ones who were doing the priest function. Okay. They also did the custodial work and helped perform the ceremonial purification. Look at that. They provided, oh my gosh, that must, you know, this was written nearly 1,000 years after Moses was on Mount Sinai when he wrote all this stuff down. They provided the bread of the presence, the flour for the grain offerings, and the wafers made without yeast, either fried or mixed with olive oil. Those details are in Numbers or whatever. They also checked all the weights and measures each morning and evening. What else did they do? There's not much to do. I mean, they're all making this up. No, they're not. They stood before the Lord to sing thanks and praise Him. Praise God. They assisted the special sacrifices of burnt offerings, the Sabbath sacrifices, the new moon celebrations, and all the festivals. In other words, all the feasts, the Passover, all those. There was, I think, seven of them or something, or five of them. There were always as many Levites present as required for the occasion. And they took care of the tabernacle and the temple and assisted the priest in whatever way they were needed. All right, wow. Boom. The priest, still going, see that? The descendants of Aaron were placed into two divisions named after Aaron's sons. Now, if you remember, look at this historical record. These guys knew Aaron lost his first two sons. That was right after Moses came down the mountain and they built the tabernacle. They all got cleansed and they're ready to start their work. Nadab and Abihu went in there and they thought, I got a better idea. I'm just going to take some crayons in there and a different kind of candle. Uh-oh. Remember, they died before their father did and had no children. So only Eleazar and Ithamar were left to carry on. Wow. All right, David consulted with Zadok, who represented the Eleazar clan, with Ahimelech. You know, Jesus mentioned him. I'll tell you where he mentioned him. The disciples were with Jesus. They're coming through a field, and the disciples grab some corn or whatever, and they're rubbing it in their hands, and they're eating it, and the Pharisees go, hey, you're working on the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to do that. And Jesus said, have you not read during the days of, right there, David went, and he mentioned David. He said David and his men went into the temple, and they got that bread of the presence. Because he said, you got something to eat? We are starving. And Jesus actually said, when he said this, says, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. And even the Son of Man can say, he's Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, he can tell you what men can do on the Sabbath day. Well, it really ticked off the Pharisees. Anyway, all tasks were assigned to the various groups by coin toss so that there would be no preference, for there were, look at that, many famous men. Ah, they're just scum. No. And high officials of the temple in each division. Shemaiah, Levite, son of Nathanael, acted as, look at that, recording secretary. Well, he didn't have nothing to do because this was all fake. No, he wrote down the names and assignments in the presence of the king. And these leaders, Zadok the priest, Ahimelech the son of Abiathar, and the head priest and Levites. Two groups from the divisions of Eleazar, one of the division of this. Okay. The work assigned by coin toss, we're just going to flip through this. Look at this. The first, second, third, fourth, fifth. Look at all those names. Okay. Led by. Okay. Each group carried out, in verse 19, the temple duties originally assigned by God through their ancestor Aaron. Wow. These were other descendants of Levi. Amram, his descendant, Shabua, whatever, these guys, okay. The Rabiah group led by his oldest son, Izar, and these are their names again, big list here. We'll just keep clicking. Look at that, his fourth, fifth son, you know, or all the way to fourth. Uzziah group was led by his son, this. They were led by this. Let's keep going here. Like the descendants of Aaron, they were assigned to their duties by coin toss without distinction as to age or rank. It was done in the presence of King David and Zadok and Ahimelech and the leaders of the priest of Levi. Now, what's interesting here is the reason it all fell apart after Solomon, Rehoboam and them, they quit doing this. We don't need no singers. I kind of like that other nation has a cool looking God. And they'd go get an image of that, and they'd stick it in this temple. Good grief. Well, we won't be politically correct. Oh, mercy. David and the officials of the tabernacle then appointed men to prophesy to the accompaniment of zithers, harps, and cymbals. What? No. David appointed officials of the tabernacle to appointed these men. You always had prophets. Don't you remember Solomon? I mean, not Solomon. King Saul, the first king, Samuel anointed him to be king. And then Samuel even told him, says, you're going to meet a bunch of prophets, you know. And Saul went up there, and he lay without any clothes on. I don't know what this deal is without your clothes on. No clothes on, and he's prophesying. I don't know what prophesying is. Go read the scriptures. Take 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13 and 14. You'll know what if I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm nobody. You know, if I prophesy, chapter 12 and chapter 14 will explain what it is. It's not, well, thou shalt go to hell. No, read the book of Psalms. It's all these wonderful things David's saying. It's all these great things. And we can all do it. Anyway, here's their names. Under the leadership of Asaph, the king's private prophet. What? Yeah. He also had, well, there he is. Excuse me, that's not him. But anyway, David not only had a chaplain, he had a prophet, which was so smart. They knew these guys could hear from the Lord. Anyway, under Jaddua, who led in giving thanks and praising the Lord. Well, Richard, I don't have time to do that. Yes, you do. We better not wait till Thanksgiving. But thank God, if when we get to Thanksgiving, we better be thanking the Lord. Wouldn't it be great? And it is true. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. You know, we see that over and over again in the book of Psalms. You know, let me hold up here just a moment. Let's go to the book of Psalms just a moment. We'll probably bring this to a close. Watch this. Why did David do this? It's pretty easy to find this. Psalm 50. Boom. Right almost in the, remember the 150, but you can still say it's in the middle. The mighty God, the Lord, has summoned all mankind from east to west. Okay, this is everybody. God's glory shines from the beautiful temple, Mount Zion. We get it. They're building it, right? He comes with a noise of thunder, surrounding by devastating fire. A great storm rages around him. We saw that at Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was on fire. Moses was like wearing an asbestos suit. He went up there. Good grief. Look at that. Oh, no. He has come to judge his people. Uh-oh. We're in trouble now. To heaven and earth, he shouts, gather together my own people who by their sacrifice upon my altar have promised to obey me. God will judge them with complete fairness. Man, we in hot water now. Let's see what he says. For all heaven declares that he is just. Yeah. Oh, my people, listen. for I am your God. Remember, there is no other gods. The rest of it is fake. Here are my charges against you. I have no complaint about your sacrifices you bring to my altar, for you bring them regularly. I never mention church service. But it isn't sacrificial bullocks and goats that I really want from you. Well, what does he want? Boy, this gets us all right here. For the animals of the field, this is the cattle on a thousand field. Remember that? The thousand field are mine. For all the animals of the field and forest are mine. There it is. The cattle on a thousand hills and all the birds upon the mountain. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Yeah. For all the world is mine, everything in it. Here's what he says. Now, this is what when we close a business today, going out of here, this is what the Lord's looking for. No, I don't need your sacrifices of flesh and blood. What I want from you, think about it. Where'd you get your body today? Where'd you get the world? So that's the reason this evolution stuff is just devastating. God didn't create that. We're just amoebas. Look at that. All I want from you is your true thanks. Now, the word true is added on for you know what that means. You're honestly telling the Lord, man, Lord, I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for you. That's all. That's it. Hey, but remember, you can't save yourself, because remember, we've made some. Let's just take David. Assume that's us. We have made some bad mistakes. How am I ever going to get to heaven? Again, true thanks. He will forgive you. I want your promises fulfilled. No, you say, hey, I swear I'll do that for you. Well, do it. Do it. Look at this. Look at this next thing. I just really can't believe this. I mean, I believe it, but I'm just saying that for him. So look at this. I want you to trust me in your times of trouble. I'm here to help you. But I tell you what, he won't. If you're not going to call him, he's not. So I can rescue you and you can give me glory. No wonder David said, every day, I want this guy. Matter of fact, I want about 4,000 of you singing thanks to God every day. And they did. What's that noise in the temple? I keep hearing them say, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, look at that. Man, wow. But God says to evil men, recite my laws no longer and stop claiming my promises, for you've refused my discipline regarding my laws. You see a thief and you help him. See, we're not going there. That's not us. All right, let's go back. That's all God's after. All right, let's wrap this up here. Where were we at? We were at 22, maybe at 23. But yeah, we're past that. 22, 23. I think we got that. We were at 24. Yeah, all this list of dudes here. All of them here. They were going to coin toss. Yeah. And then we're just going to stop right there. No, we were doing that prophesying. Let's see. We got there. These guys were prophesying. Yeah, we'll catch this real quick. I'll just read it. Let's see. Under Jeduth, who led the giving of thanks and praising the Lord. Good grief. His six sons. Man, he had a sextet, whatever you want to call it. Under the direction of Heman, the king's private chaplain. Wait a minute. He has a prophet and a chaplain? Yeah. Look at that. All these guys. Look at that. Look what he says in verse 5. Love these notes. God had honored him with 14 sons and 3 daughters. Praise the Lord. Their music ministry included the playing of cymbals, harps, zithers. They were all under the direction of their father. Wow. Asaph. That's why we hear Asaphs, whatever. All this comes from the Bible. They reported directly to the king. They and their families were all trained in singing. 288? David has no time for this. Oh, yes, he does. That's the reason they built the most beautiful temple, or his son will. And David provided all the materials. Singers were appointed to their particular term of service by coin toss without regard to age or reputation. That's the reason Janet said she got on the TV and all of a sudden you see Bill Gaither going on all the time. The world has still got music singing about Jesus everywhere. It's going on somewhere, and it's because of this. Praise God. And then it's so funny. I wake up in the morning, and I'm singing a hymn I hadn't sung in a long time, or maybe a hymn I sang the day before. I'm like, why don't I wake up, start singing Jingle Bells? You know? I mean, nothing wrong with Jingle Bells, but praise the Lord. This stuff is important. First was Joseph. We're going to read them all. This guy had 12 sons. Azira, 12 sons, 5th, 6th. Look at all those sons. Wow. You think Jesus had anything to do with it? Yeah. 12 sons, his brothers, 15, 12 sons, 16. Look at all those guys, 18, 19, 20. Hope I didn't miss something cool in there. Let's see. That's it. All right, that puts us at 26. Now we know. Can you see what I'm at? See how blessed you'd be if you get, if you're at least reading it in the, well, if you can understand it, King James, fine. We just get the same effect. But wow, Chronicles is like, woo, that's good stuff. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you. It's always been there for us because you've always been. You created everything. And Lord, since you created everything, if we're hurting in our bodies, you'll fix that. If we got some problem in our body, you'll fix that. Jesus healed them all when he was here, and it never went away. So, Father, we just thank you for that. And if it's financial, you'll fix that too. Praise the Lord. And if it's some other problem, it's not health. You know, it's not money or whatever. We have got a burning problem somewhere. Well, you're our great God, and you'll get us out. And that doesn't leave anything left for us to open up our own book of Chronicles and write down everything you've done for us as we tell other people about Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
That was good.
Amen. Isn't that good stuff?
Don't play one.